All right, everybody sit down, shut up. Boy, that ends it. I know, I hate to break it up. I told you things are going to change up here. I've got permission from the Holy Spirit to preach in the Old Testament for a while, and we're going to talk about covenant. We're going to talk about walking by faith because of the covenants, because of the promises, and today I'm going to talk about David again. Last week I talked about Israel wanted a king so they could be like everybody else. Well, God gave them Saul, and he was a big man, a good-looking man, but he really didn't have a heart for God. And Saul did something he shouldn't have done. He offered the sacrifices that only the priests were to offer. So as king, he set himself above the law, and God dethroned him and said, you're not going to be king anymore. And he sent Samuel, if you remember, to anoint David. David, they figure, was 16, 17 years old. And it was disappointing to his brothers because they thought one of them should have been king. Well, what we're going to talk about today is the story of David and Goliath. And it was interesting to me. I read in the commentators that they estimated this was 8 years after he was anointed. So David wasn't a teenager anymore. He'd have been about 25 years old. But as I said, I want to talk about covenant relationship for the next few weeks. Do you realize we're in a covenant with God? Yeah, some of you do, and some of you say, I'm not real sure what that is. And that's a little foreign to our Western minds. All covenants in Hebrew culture were made with blood. It's called berith. And it means to cut. All covenants that God made with men were ratified with somebody's blood. And the covenant we're under today is ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says God wasn't pleased with burnt offerings, that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins. Otherwise, they'd only had to make an offering one time and stop. But it says every year they were reminded of how sinful they were. But under that covenant that they were under, the Jews, God promised them that he would walk with them, he would protect them if they would love him, number one, and if they would obey his law. And David, God testified of David that he was a man after his own heart. David was a very godly man. And being a Jewish young man, he grew up being taught the law. That's how they taught boys to read and write, was through the law. And David knew the covenant. He knew the law. He knew the commandments of God. And we're going to see today how he believed in that covenant so strongly that he laid his life on the line. The text this morning is out of 1 Samuel 17, verses 31 through 54. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off, and he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag. Pouch, I'm sorry. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." So then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout, and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Shearim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Father, I thank you for your word that is truth. It never comes back to you void, but it will accomplish what you sent it out to do. I thank you for this covenant that we are in, the better covenant, your word says, which was ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the promises that we have in Christ, Lord, that you will watch over us and keep us. I thank you for the teaching here that the battle is yours and not ours, and we're to depend on your Spirit and not our strength. Father, I ask you to bless those who are here today. Open their ears to the word and their hearts to receive it. Father, I pray that I will decrease, that you might increase. Holy Spirit, I ask you to preach the truth here this morning, and I will be your vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. David's father, Jesse, sent him to check on his 3 oldest brothers. They were fighting with Saul's army against the Philistine. And it says, for every day, for 40 days, the champion of the Philistines, and this was interesting when I researched this, that Goliath was called a champion because most of the armies had champions, and sometimes they'd say, hey, instead of having a big bloody battle, let's let our champions fight, and whoever wins, that settles it. And champions would fight while the other armies watched. So Goliath was a champion, like Saul said, from the time he was little, if you could call him little. Goliath was 9 feet, 6 inches tall. Okay. Some of the other manuscripts say he was 10'3". One says, by their measurements, he was 11'2". You know, Dr. Adam Clark said he agreed with a 9'6", or 9'9", I'm sorry. Goliath wore a coat over his chest that weighed 126 pounds. It was brass. He had a spear that its head was made of iron and it weighed 18 and a half pounds. They said the total weight of his armor was 272 pounds. And an average soldier in that day's armor weighed 60. So Goliath was a massive guy. I watched some stupid show one time about Goliath, and they said he had a thyroid problem, so he wasn't really that strong. I said, yeah, the guy carries 126 pounds around his chest, and he was a weakling, and that's why David killed him. That's man's way of trying to explain things. But he was very intimidating. And every day for 40 days, they'd line up for war, and he'd step out and say, what do we got to do this for? You send out a champion, and we'll fight. If you win, we'll be your servants. And the fight was always to the death. It wasn't just till somebody said, I've had enough. You died. And he said, if you defeat us, defeat me, we'll be your servants. And it said the army would line up, and as soon as they saw Goliath, they'd run. And the commentators say that his challenge was not just for the army. He was trying to get Saul to come out and fight. Saul had a reputation as quite a warrior. And the scripture says he was a shoulder and head taller than the other Jewish men, and they estimate that put him to close to 7 feet tall. So he was a big man, he was a handsome man, and when God ordained him as king, he gave him victory several times over the Philistines, and so he had a reputation. This guy's a Philistine killer, and that's who Goliath really wanted to fight with. But there was a problem. When God departed from Saul, his spirit came off of him. And the Bible says an evil spirit from the Lord would come on him. One of the commentators said that Saul had all the symptoms of manic depressive, paranoid schizophrenic, because sometimes they said these things would just manifest themselves in the way he conducted himself. Well, even Saul was afraid of him. Well, they'd still fight. The armies. But every day, Goliath would come out and give him that challenge. Remarkable-sized man. And I know those men looked at him and said, not me, baby. And you know what it showed about Saul and the army? They loved themselves more than they loved the Lord. You see, God told them when he made that covenant, I will make one of you chase 1,000. And Goliath had defied the army of Israel and the army of the living God. And I like this. David gets sent by his father. He said, I want you to go check on your three brothers, see how they're doing. And he gave him some gifts and said, give this to their captain. That was a courtesy thing. And it said when David got there, he saw the armies lined up and he left his gifts with the supply sergeant. That'd be who he was today. He'd be the supply sergeant. And David ran up and was talking to his brothers and asked him, hey man, how's it going? I'm glad to see you're okay. And they don't care much for David. He's baby brother. He's kind of a nuisance to them. And Goliath comes out and gives his speech. And I love this. It said, I didn't read it today, but back up a little ways, it said the men said, boy, whoever could whip that guy, the king would give him his daughter for marriage and would make his family free from taxes. And David goes, huh? You know, he's a young man. And he said, say what? They said, well, he'll give you his daughter for marriage and he'll make you free from taxes. And alive, his oldest brother said, why'd you come here? I know why you're here. You just wanted to see the fight. And David looks at him, and you can kind of tell what his relationship is with him. He said, what have I done now? That tells me that they kind of thrashed old David once in a while, verbally. I guess we'd call it verbal abuse today, or some would. And they kind of down on David. They saw him anointed as king. They were jealous of him, you know. But something they didn't realize, I believe, is the Bible says when Saul poured the oil, or Samuel poured the oil on him, the Spirit of God rushed upon David. You see, when you were anointed with that oil, the Holy Spirit came with it. And David changed. Now, he was a godly man, but David changed. Something happened to him. Well, that's where we came in. David, after Eliab jumped on him and said, David turned to another man and said, what will be done for the guy that defeats this guy? Well, the king will give you his daughter, and he'll make your families free from taxes. And David said, well, I'll do it. And said the words came to Saul, so Saul called for him. And there's something very significant in the conversation with Saul. Two times, David refers to the Philistine as uncircumcised. Why? What was David saying? He was saying, he's not in the covenant with God. We are. And when Saul tried to persuade him not to even try, he said, look, this guy is a champion, a warrior from his youth up. He's killed a lot of men, and you're still a baby, in essence. You know, you're just a young pup. Saul was a little older and thought he's a little wiser, and he said, well, you're just a pup. He's been killing men since back in '06. You know, who do you think you are? And I love it. David looks at the king. He goes, don't let your hearts fear. Ooh. He just said, what are you scared of, Saul? Yeah. But now, this, he doesn't do that. He doesn't say, haven't you heard my reputation, Saul? I'm a lion killer. That's what my friends call me back in Bethlehem, David the lion killer. Why, I've killed bears, and I've killed lions. Haven't you heard my reputation? He doesn't do that. He said, I used to tend my father's sheep. And I believe this happened after he was filled with the Spirit. And he said, anytime a young lion or a bear would come down to steal a lamb, I'd go after them and I'd take it out of their mouth. He said, I'd strike him, take it out of their mouth. How'd he strike him? With his sling. You hit a stone, hit you at 200 miles an hour, it's going to hurt. And that'd make them drop that lamb. And David said, I'd grab the lamb. Then he said, well, if they rose up against me, I'd grab them by the beard and I'd kill them. He said, your servant has killed both lions, plural, and bears, plural. Now, if he'd have stopped right there, he'd have been in trouble, as far as I'm concerned. But David said, the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lions and the bear will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Saul, he's not a covenant child of God. I am, and so are you. You're supposed to be. And he said, he has defied the armies of the living God. That's just not Israel. He's called the Lord of hosts. There's an innumerable company of angels in heaven, and they are his army also. You remember when Elisha was a prophet, and the Syrians were after him, because the Syrian king said, how do they know when I'm going to attack them, they know my battle plans? He said, one of my men must be a traitor. And they said, no, God tells him everything you say in your bedroom. And that king said, well, go get him, kill him. You know, I don't like this. And they come against the city. It said in the morning they get up, and there's this Syrian army just around the city. And Elisha's servant said, Master, what are we going to do? They're going to wipe us out. And Elisha didn't reply. He looked up and said, Lord, would you open his eyes? And it said the servant looked up and he saw flame and chariots of fire surrounding those Syrians. And Elisha looked up and said, hey, dude, those who are with us are more than all this army. Elisha said, this is God's fight, son. And David knew this fight with Goliath was God's. How did he know that? Because he knew the law. When Joshua was retiring, he knew he was getting ready to die. He said to the Israelites, how do you think that one of you has been able to chase 1,000 or two of you has been able to chase away 10,000? He said, you couldn't do that unless our enemy's rock had sold them. And he said, our God is the God, is the God. And he has fought for us everywhere we've went. So Joshua said, be careful not to forget to love the Lord. Because if you love the Lord, then you're going to do His will. You know. In fact, God, that's the only faith God accepts from us, is a faith that works by love. If you're trying to do works by and faith, God doesn't accept that. It's because I love God. God deserves my loyalty. God deserves my obedience. God deserves my life. And He does not lie. David said, "This same God who delivered me from the paws of the lion and the bear will deliver this Philistine, uncircumcised Philistine, into my hand." David wasn't bragging on David. He was bragging on God. He was saying, "You ought to know this, guys." Well, there's a difference between knowing and believing. They knew about the promises, but they didn't believe them. Every time Goliath come up there, they was worried about, number one, "Not me, baby. That guy will eat me up." Well, God, Joshua told Israel, God told him, I have loved you, and I've guarded you like the apple of my eye. You know what that means in Hebrew? My pupil. God said, "I have guarded you like the pupil of my eye." How well do you guard your eyes? If you think something's about to get in them, yeah. When I remember, I put on safety glasses when I'm in my shop. That sawdust hitting your eyes is a drag. You can't see good for a while. It stains your eyes water. And I've heard of guys getting their eyes knocked out with splinters coming off of saws and that. And God told the Israelites, "I love you, and it's not because you're righteous, because you're a bunch of thick-headed, stubborn, rebellious people, but I made promise to your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I love you. And I'll guard you like the apple of my eye, the pupil of my eye." So Joshua said to Israel, "Don't forget to love the Lord. If you love the Lord as you love your love the Lord God supremely and love your neighbor as yourself," Jesus said, "you'll keep the law, the commandments. But when you love yourself more than you love God, you're going to look out for me. I don't care what God's telling me to do. I'm not going to do that." "What do you mean go to Africa, God? They got lions there." You know, I'm sure a lion would look at me and say, "Woo, call the cousins. We're going to eat good." Yeah. I used to tell the Lord, "I don't want to go to Africa." And when He finally got through to me that I was supposed to be in ministry, He told me, "If you obey me, your life will never be the same." And I went, "Oh, man, I'm going to Africa. I just knew I was going to Africa." I finally had to reach a place in my life where I could say, "If you want me to go to Africa, I'll go. I'll go to Afghanistan. My life is yours." What happens if they kill me? They send me to heaven. That doesn't scare me. And David, he's walking by faith, and his faith produced actions. Those other men said, "Well, yeah, sure, we believe what God says. We have His word, and we know He said that He loves us, and He will fight for us. Then let's fight for God." "No, well, no, baby, I might get hurt. See, I love me more than I love God." Jesus said we can't love ourselves more than God. We can't love our wives. We can't love our kids more than God. We can't love our mom and dad more than we love God. He said you can't do that. God's number one. And I love it. Saul puts his armor on David. Saul was a big man, so the armor was heavy. And it said David tried in vain to walk, and he couldn't. He said, "I've never tested this." The King James says proved it. I like that better. "I never proved it." But what had he proven? God fighting for him. God's protection, because he was a covenant child. And Saul said, "Don't be afraid. I'll go out and fight this Philistine, and God will deliver him into my hand." Well, I believe that. But who went out to the field to fight with Goliath? One guy out of the army. The rest of the army, if you'd asked him, "Well, don't you believe God?" "Oh, yeah, I believe the covenant. I read the law. I keep the law as best as I can. You know, I believe in God." I hear a lot of people say, "Well, I believe in God." Ask them, "Are you a Christian?" "Well, I believe in God." "Well, so do the demons." That doesn't mean anything, man. That's a start. But do you believe in him enough that your life has changed? Have you repented of your works that lead to death and said, God, I'm following you no matter what. That's the kind of man David was. He said, how dare this uncircumcised Philistine, this man who is not in a covenant with God, how dare he defy God like this? Who does he think he is? Hezekiah, when he was king, Sennacherib, an Assyrian king, came against Judah. They had conquered Jerusalem, the northern tribes. Then they came against Judah, and boy, they were talking smack. That's what I call it. When I used to kickbox, that's when you see two fighters face each other and their lips are moving, they're talking smack. I'm going to beat you. Man, I'm going to beat you like a redhead stepchild. It's going to take you a long time to recover. I'm going to hit you so hard your mama will cry. You know, you're just psychologically trying to build yourself up and scare the other guy. And that's what Goliath's doing. There's no faith in that. Goliath's saying, I'll grind you up, boy. I'll make a little bitty puddle out of you. There'd just be barely enough for the birds to eat you. David doesn't do that. He doesn't play the game. He comes up and he goes, well, you got a spear and a javelin and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God who you have defied. David says, you're in trouble, Bubba. Now that's faith. And David said, this day the Lord will deliver you into our hand. He includes the army. He said, today I'm going to cut your head off, and I'm going to give you to the birds, and the other army's going to fall down, the birds going to eat them. So, no, he doesn't do that. He doesn't even have a sword. Goliath looks at him and says, this boy's tripping. You know, he ain't got no sword. How are you going to cut my head off, dude? Little brat. Goliath thinks, I'll teach you. Mouth me like that, you little wimp. And he gets up and starts walking towards David. And I love this. David ran to meet him. David wanted to get there. You know, he closed the distance in real quick. And it said he took a stone out of his shepherd's bag. Now, David was good with a sling. They had slingers in the army in those days, and that's why they wore bronze helmets, because if them rocks hit you, like I said, they clocked them at 200 miles an hour coming out of a sling. That's going to hurt at the least, but it's going to do damage. But it said David put his hand in his bag, and he put it in that sling, and he whirled that thing over his head, and he cut it loose, and I think an angel of the Lord caught it and went, pew! It said the stone sank in his head, and Goliath fell face down to the ground. Then it said he stood over him. Actually, what David had to do, he got on top of him. He got up on Goliath, and he pulled the sword in. He killed him, and he cut his head off. And it said when the Philistines saw their champion dead, they ran. They didn't keep their promise. You know, David killed Goliath. If they'd have kept their word, they'd have said, okay, you won. We're going to be your slaves. But they ran. I think them Philistines realized something's up here. If that kid killed Goliath, think how rowdy these other guys are. David was able to kill Goliath because he was a covenant child and he understood the covenant he was in. And God told him, I'll fight for you. When you please me, when you keep my law, I will fight for you. He said, one of you can chase 1,000. Two of you will be able to chase 10,000. And David believed it. David believed that this Philistine was counting on gods that were not gods. He was counting on his own strength. And he said, man, the Lord's fighting this battle. So he told the king, I didn't kill them lion and bears on my own. God delivered them to me. And he'll deliver these Philistines to me. Did he prove it? You bet. Come walking back with the head in one hand, the sword, the armor in the other. Wow. I told you, I think two Philistine soldiers were running together, and one said, there's a kid that's going places, and the other one said, yeah, he knows how to get ahead. Yeah, last time I said that at revival, everybody went, "Oh!" But hey, how else could a young man armed only with a stick and rocks kill somebody like Goliath? God fought for him. Now, here's the hermeneutics. I went to Bible college and learned some fancy words. Hermeneutics. Here, how does this apply to today? We are under a better covenant than they are. They were. Ours has been ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as covenant children, number one, being in a covenant with God means He will protect you. Yeah. He will watch over you. Jesus said, one sparrow doesn't fall to the ground that God doesn't see. Yeah. He said, how much more worth are you than a lot of sparrows? But what happens sometimes, Christians, when we get into spiritual battles, and you will, if you're not, something's wrong. You need to get saved. Okay? Because you're not a threat to Satan. When you are serving the living God, the devil goes, I don't like that, and I'm going to try to mess it up. Now, you can get cocky. You can think, I can handle this situation. You know, I'm not afraid of you. Yeah, that's especially men. I can take care of this myself. No, you can't. We're talking about the Holy Spirit at Sunday school because of some of the restoration teaching that was wrong, I believe. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's one of the three persons of God. You really want to get confused? John said, I saw the seven spirits of God before the throne. We're under a better covenant because we all have the Spirit upon us, within us, just like those kings. If you have received the Holy Spirit, something in you should have changed. You should have a clearer understanding of the Word. You should have an understanding of the relationship you're in with Jesus Christ and all the things that go over that. Do you know when you're under a covenant with God, He protects you? He said, I'll watch over you like the pupil of my eye. He's saying, I'll fight your battles. If you don't rely upon yourself, rely upon me. And Christians, we do the same thing sometimes as Saul does. We go hunker off somewhere and say, not me, baby. The devil will gut stomp you. I use that term from street fighting. You knock a guy down and you put your boots to him. I call it gut stomping. He will gut stomp you. Jesus said He came here to kill, steal, and destroy. He also said when a strong man trusts in his armor, he's safe until a stronger man comes by and takes away that armor. Who's the stronger man? You can say it. Jesus. Jesus said, I have come here to strip him of his armor. That devil sure gave me a hard time. Well, rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Stand up to him and say, I am a covenant child. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You take your garbage and you go peddle it somewhere else. Yeah, this isn't name it and claim it. This is the God's honest truth from His Word. I have been studying this week, and God has blessed me when I start realizing that He doesn't change and I'm in a covenant with Him that's a better covenant because it's the blood of Jesus Christ and He defeated Satan. The war's been won, but He left us here to fight battles. Well, how come sometimes I have these painful trials? God does that to make you a better person and mold you into the image of Jesus Christ. Don't go blaming your problems on the devil. Do you know a holy God doesn't like that? If you falsely accuse Satan, that will grieve God. And I don't know how many times Christians go, oh, man, I've had the devil on me. And the devil's done this and the devil's done that. And good Lord, I pray and God won't take the devil off of him. Sometimes God says, like with Job, yeah, go ahead. But you got to spare their life. My Bible says Jesus Christ was a son, but he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And if my master suffered, he told me, look, man, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. Christian, that's part of the package. But what else is part of the package? I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. That means I can get through this trial. Something I've come to learn about my trials is that God has gotten me through every one of them, not unscarred, but I've got through every one of them, and I can look back now and see where He was working the whole time. And sometimes God will say, you're a jerk, man. You need to go through these trials. You're arrogant. You need to be humbled. It says if we exalt ourselves, God will humble us. But if we humble ourselves, God will what? Exalt us. Why? Because we're His kids. Young men, you that are dating, you better remember that that young lady you're with, if she's a Christian, she's God's daughter. And you think her daddy's bad. Yeah, think about that. This is God's daughter. You don't want to make him mad. Young ladies, if you're a believer, you need to realize you are God's daughter. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that means hands off, hairy hormones. Yeah. See, the covenant relationship is not one-sided, okay? I don't care what people, it's not one-sided. If we will obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the desires of our flesh. Well, it's such a strong desire. Yeah, but you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to do what I want to do for my pleasure? Or am I going to do what God asked me to do? That's your decision. That's my decision. You know what God says? You do what I ask you to do, I'm going to bless you. Do you believe that? And start living like it. My Bible tells me I'm a king and a priest and a joint heir with Jesus. I'm a king, man. King Richard. That's the name I carry now. King Richard. Hey, the Bible said it. I didn't. How does a king conduct himself? He should be humble. So he can hear from God. He should be noble. He should be a man of integrity. And my Bible, if you are Christians, my Bible says you're all kings and priests. Peter said, a peculiar people. Good call. Most people I've met in church are peculiar. Do you know how much God loves you, church? How much He prizes you? He sent His Son to die in your place and my place for our sins, nothing that He did, and spill His blood so it would be safe for God to forgive us. And when He did that, it said He took the law, all the charges against us, and He nailed it to the cross. And God doesn't look at you anymore and say, boy, I remember how much of a scuzzball you was in your past. My Bible says my past is hidden with Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I still remember it at times, and it hurts me when I think of the people I've hurt, the people I've sinned against. But God's forgiven me of that. He doesn't hold it against me. Thank you, Jesus. But it's not because one day I decided I was going to be a good person and change. I decided I wanted to change because I realized what Jesus Christ had done. And I realized what the Word says. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And after that, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's water regeneration. Well, God said it, I didn't. I'm just repeating what He told me. Repent. What's that mean? Change your mind. And in changing your mind, it means you change your actions. You quit going against God and you go with Him. You say, you're right, God, I'm wrong. David had a covenant relationship with God. It wasn't a bunch of rules and regs. Joshua said, love the Lord And David loved him more than himself, and he proved it by putting himself in harm's way and saying, "Now I'm counting on you, Lord. You said you'd fight for me, and I'm not going to let this big mouth bully stand here and blaspheme you, because you're my father." That's the attitude David had. That's my dad you're talking about, and I don't like that. I knew a preacher was working at in a factory one time, and this one guy didn't like him because he's a preacher. And he told me one day that guy cursed him in the name of God. And he said, I went up to him and said, "How dare you talk to me like that about my father? That's my father." And he said, "You better never say that to me again." And I said, "What happened?" He said, "That old boy just dropped his head and didn't say a word. But," he said, "he's never said that to me again." I'm not that fortunate. I'd have got the guy that hit me right in the nose. And then I'd have been struggling with that command about turning the other cheek, because I've never been real good at that. I'm working on it. Church, God loves you. And it says that He has given us His Holy Spirit, and that marks us as His. It seals us until the day of redemption. The redemption of what? This body. This body hadn't been redeemed yet. Paul said that. Our spirits have. Our spirits have been bought. We belong to Jesus. That this body's going to die. I'm going to die someday. And the older I get, the more real that gets to me. You know, well, I'm going to die. But they killed my master and they put him in a grave, and in 3 days he rose again. And the Word says that proves that He's going to raise this body. Praise God, and He's going to make it a spiritual, immortal body. And I'll never hurt anymore. I'll never struggle with sin anymore. I will behold the face of my Lord for eternity, and I'll get to sing praises to Him. Can you say that this morning? Are you sure? Yeah. I am too. Stand with me this morning. When the devil comes against you, and you, if you know it's him, rebuke him in the name of the Lord. If trials come, be patient and wait on God. And don't accuse God. And don't accuse the devil necessarily. Just say, "God, I'm waiting on you, and I know you're going to get me through this because I am your child." The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that's not just a head faith saying, "Well, I believe it." It's a heart faith, an experiential faith saying, "I know this is true." It's not presumption. I'm not talking about saying, "Well, I know I'm going to get a Harley Fat Boy because I've prayed for it." Well, you... if God doesn't want you to have one, you ain't going to get it, Bubba. He's not concerned about our flesh. He's concerned about our spirit. Yeah. He sent Christ to bear our judgment for sin so we don't have to be judged. But if you reject Christ, you're going to be judged for your sins. You will stand before God. And Paul said you'll be judged for every deed done in the body, whether good or evil. So if you have never called on the name of Christ for salvation, I want you to do that today before you leave here. If you're a Christian and you're having problems, you're struggling with sin, lay it at the feet of Jesus. Repent. Make a commitment to Him that I am going to turn around and do it. Don't just talk about it. Do it. And when you're weak, call on His name. You're a covenant child if you belong to Him. If you don't belong to Christ, you're not a covenant child. You're outside of the covenant, and Satan is your God, so you're going to get what your God's going to get. Eternity in the lake of fire. I didn't say it. It's in the Bible. Look it up. If you need to pray, if you need to talk, come up here and sit on the front row, and I'll stay here as long as I need to and talk to you. Let's get it settled today. Don't walk out of here and leave nothing unsettled. I ask you that as we sing a song of invitation.
He is all I need. He is all I need. Jesus is all I need. He is all I need. He is all.
tonight. I don't remember if Dr. Mark, I don't think he's going to be here tonight, but he had his video for us to watch, and John's not here. He's sick to show it, so we'll try to have a video. One of us remembers how to do that. Any announcements that need to be made or prayer requests before we close? Doc? Right, junior high. And remember, this Friday and Saturday is our VBS. So Dr. Mark will be back, I think, tomorrow. And give a chance, give him a call and say, what can I do? It works all on volunteers. Anything else? All right. Dot, would you say the closing prayer for us, please?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the faith of David. Father, I just thank you for the love for him that you have. I thank you, Father, for the example he sets for us. I pray, Father, that as we go out of here this day, that you will bless each of us and guide each of us and encourage each of us, Father, by your word, to have the same faith that David had. Help us, Father, to step out of comfort zones, to step out and be braver, Father, simply because it's not just us. It's you with us. Help us to realize that, Father. Help us to know that whatever we do, we're not alone. We're never alone. I just ask your blessings on those who are sick. I pray for John. I pray for Desiree. I pray for the others that have been mentioned, Scott. So many others, Father, that need your love and your blessing and your healing. And I just ask, Father, that you bless and touch and heal. And, Father, help us to have care in our prayers, Father, and help us if there's a way for us to minister to the people who need help, to encourage them in any way as well. I ask your blessings on camp this week, the faculty, the campers, on VBS this weekend, Father. I just pray that you bless as well. Watch those who are traveling, Father, over the holidays that are coming ahead. Just go with us and guide us and bless us as you always do. In Christ's name I pray these things. Amen.
We're going to do the closing song.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great